The following is from Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network.
Now wait a minute.
This election, which will be, I do truly believe, the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election. Don't you hear that?
This is the most important election in our lifetime.
I certainly think it's the most important election of my lifetime.
This is the most important election of our times.
Politicians say every time, oh, this is the most important election. This one's really that important.
It's a dark day for our country. A day that will forever live in infamy. I'm talking, of course, about the first time that we've had to record without a guest. And that means one less voter. We're a voter down.
Oh, no!
A
democracy.
Down.
Democracy dies in darkness when it's not very light outside.
Well, wouldn't you say that having an uneven number of people actually makes the voting more democratic? I mean, there's no possibility of a tie now.
I refrain from the vote. Boom.
Oh, well, yeah. See, now it's even more important that all of us vote. It's now compulsory.
You can't see me, but I've got my ballots here, audience.
Yeah, because we don't have a guest today, it's our duty to vote harder, stronger, faster, smarter, and more on amphetamines than ever.
Did you say smarter?
Yeah.
I don't know about smarter, but the rest of that we can probably pull off.
I don't know what day this is going to get posted, but just so y'all know, today, the recording is when, the whole TikTok ban reversal thing happened. So, smarter!
Well, it's also when the ban happened. This was a whirlwind.
Yes.
By
the time that this episode comes out, it'll be like a time capsule to a completely different world. TikTok's gonna get banned, unbanned, rebanned. It's just a lot's gonna happen by the time.
it's hard to even speculate right now about that. But what we
TikTok's
can
speculate in a quantum superposition right now.
What we can speculate about are the topic of this episode. First and foremost, you know, I'm Kennedy Cooper, and of course, as always on the panel, we've got Brandon Buchanan.
Yeah, hello. First and foremost, all of us.
And we've got Andrew Fields, the in-house statistician, somehow a real statistician on this show.
Numbers! 73! 73!
This is what we pay him for. This is what...
P equals 0.003.
Sometimes I just ask Andrew to say a number, and that's what we're paying for, really.
And then he sends a Cash App request for $5.
Yeah.
That's the number.
That's the number five.
Pray I don't think of a higher number, he says. So.
The biggest number is 18. All the others are government conspiracies.
That's true. This is an opportunity for you to learn a little bit more about us and the things that we enjoy. We talk to a lot of other folks, the guests that we bring on about this on this show, about things that they like. Do they like SpongeBob? Do they love the music of Cher? What is it that inspires them? And then we use that to craft our episode topics. But today, we're here to riff it and kick it a little bit and talk about things that bring joy to our own cold, dead hearts here in this apocalyptic landscape. Who wants to? I feel like I've been talking a lot. Somebody want to speak up and speak on behalf of something that they love?
I mean, really, you didn't talk that much.
Also, it'll be off-putting if we just start off with me talking about Sonic. So let's get another topic first.
Okay, yeah, we can't start with Sonic. I will start us off with a nice uncontroversial topic, which is I fucking love Dragon Ball Z. This is a show that I come back to rewatch parts of. I'm currently doing a full rewatch with my partner. It's awesome. It's just a great time. Memorable characters. Akira Toriyama, just a brilliant writer. A comedy genius who decided to dabble more into the realm of soap opera where he could mix drama and comedy. And framed it all in a martial arts universe where everyone thinks martial arts is cool no matter where you go. If you get in a spaceship and travel for months and you run into another spaceship by chance, and that spaceship pulls you in a tractor beam, those guys are going to want to do martial arts with you. Like, that's the universe of Dragon Ball Z. Everyone, everywhere you go thinks martial arts are fucking awesome. Every alien species has their own spin on martial artistry and stuff like that. And it's just a neat time. And it's just a show that, you know, it's easy to love, that holds up over time. Plus, you have the other shows surrounding it. Dragon Ball, the prequel show, which, of course, it's not prequel in the sense of, like, written after, but just, you know, it's the stuff that comes first. You've got Dragon Ball Super, which is all right. You got a couple other things that we talk about less. You know, but there's just a lot to enjoy there. It's something that I get a big kick out of. So, there, I put myself out there. I fucking love Dragon Ball Z. I think that's a pretty easy lead-in. It's not as gross as saying I love Sonic, which we'll save
for later. Okay, Well, if I'm next,
I didn't honestly, say you're next for sure. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was thinking of changing mine. It would be work well to work from anime to anime and a little anime.
What's your little anime?
It's a very short, compact anime called One Piece. It only has around 1,100 episodes. Very easy to get into.
This is your less embarrassing alternative to Sonic. Did I hear that?
One Piece is popular. One Piece is widely popular. The manga is the best-selling manga of all time. Like, this one is popular. Like, I don't know what to tell you. The live-action one came out, and I'm among countless suckers who's like, oh, you know what? I'll watch the live action One Piece instead of getting into the anime. That was my logic. I was a fool. I'm caught up with One Piece now. I was a fool.
You're caught up in the sense of you saw the live action a little bit and then you said, I've got to watch all 1,000 episodes.
I skipped some of the filler ones. There's actually one canon arc that a lot of people skip part of and I did. But yes, it's a very, I mean, the best way to describe it, it's pretty anarchy, very progressive. Monkey D. Luffy, he doesn't fucking care about, it's not this, oh, status quo thing. Oh, we have to keep the status quo. No, he will fuck, if you fuck over his friend, he will fucking topple your fucking kingdom. He will fucking kick your ass. Like, the world government is terrified of him because he just doesn't give a shit. Fucking, yes, power of friendship. Exactly.
I have to admit, I haven't watched the show because I just prefer longer form television.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's not that long.
Like General Hospital.
Yeah, it's impressive you've watched every single episode of General Hospital.
Especially because some of them are lost media. don't ask why I know so much about General Hospital, listeners. We'll get to that in another episode, maybe. I do think the themes sound very compelling, the characters do sound likable. But just as somebody who was just praising Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Z is already pretty poorly paced at times. And sometimes while I'm watching Dragon Ball Z, I'll think to myself, I cannot imagine watching One Piece.
Hey, Kennedy, let's replicate a Dragon Ball Z episode. Ah, I'm growing stronger.
Actually, it's more like Yeah, people say that a lot, but there's not actually a lot of, like, just episodes where people do nothing but power up. It's more like Frieza is just beating the shit out of Krillin. Krillin is totally helplessly getting the shit beat out of him. And Goku is, like, got a weird disease, and we've got to wait, like, exactly 3.5 more hours before he's cured or whatever. And that 3.5 more hours takes, like, 45 episodes, wherein, like all of your favorite characters get the shit kicked out of them and or killed. And then Goku finally is cured of the Namekian mind worm or whatever the fuck, and comes out and is like, no, Frieza, how could you do this? And then they fight for 20 more episodes. And then you might be like, oh, they fight for 20 more episodes, but those 20 episodes are really cool. So,
reminder that there's one episode of One Piece that canonically an entire episode that's supposed to take place in less than 10 seconds. And they keep reminding you of this fact.
Yeah, you know, they by the time that you go through enough episodes, you've got to start stretching the dimensionalities of what happens in the episode and who's involved and stuff like that. One Piece is fine. It's very long. You've got Dragon Ball Z, which is also very long. I guess Batman is also very long. When we started talking about this, I really said we've got to find some topics where if we had an episode, we could just do the whole episode by ourselves. Like, what could you talk about enough that you could easily just host your own episode of the show? And definitely just anything with Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, their friends and neighbors and accessories. That whole DC setting, I can just do like the back of my hand forever. I liked the Justice League cartoon. I liked Batman, the animated series. I like the movies. I've just been into all of that since I was, I don't know, old enough to be in Kids WB. Dragon Ball Z was happening at this time. That was when I was a little younger. The Power Rangers was happening around this time. I was, again, a little younger. Yeah, they're unlike, you know, a story like Dragon Ball Z, where it's one continuity that just goes endlessly. It's more like a box of toys. When you're tired of one Batman story, you just put the toys back in the box. You unshuffle them in a different way, and then you just do the whole thing over again, which is just great. You get to see different writers' perspective on all of those characters. Obviously, the comic book versus manga structure debate has gone on forever. But yeah, I like being able to just re-roll it, and you just pick what you want.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, we could go on and talk about more stuff that we love, but I actually think it would be good if we kept this episode a little focused.
Next time for Sonic, viewers.
Can we talk about Sonic for at least 90 seconds?
Well, I was going to say, how about we each do, rather than let this get too sprawling, though, how about we each do one more?
Okay.
I just want to hear someone justify their fandom of Sonic.
We'll get
all right.
To that.
I've actually told Kennedy a very compelling theory. My mom was a Red Sox fan. I've had it drilled in my head. You pick your fandom, you die with it, you get with the successes. And Sonic 2 was my first video game.
Yeah, I am starting to buy into this theory, actually, in terms of why you're like this.
Kennedy. You die with your fandom. But man, last year was a good Sonic year.
Yeah, I feel like Brandon and I are both more like Brandon's chosen a fandom where for his first choice here, he's chosen a fandom where, like you said, you know, you kind of have to like put the Legos back in the box, jumble them around, pull them back out. Okay, now the Joker, he's not so bad. He's going to team up with Batman. What? That's crazy, but it's going to make sense. Don't worry. you know? So, like, if you like, don't like certain Batman stories, you can just take them or leave them. Doesn't really matter. And like me, you know, you heard me. I'm quick to just, I don't really acknowledge the shitty Dragon Ball Z art or the shitty Dragon Ball stuff like GT. You know, most fans, I mean, it's non-canonical anyway, so You can just kind of pass over that, and if people bring it up, you just tell them to go fuck themselves. Aligning yourself with Sonic, you can't separate yourself.
There's a Sonic game where Sonic can't run. That's the premise of the game. Dr. Robotnik put shoes on Sonic's feet and he can't run. You know what? That's part of the franchise. I'm with it.
It's such a bad idea. What are you talking about?
It's all, half of the franchise is bad, a lot of it is good, and then you get the Sonic Mania, then you get last year's hit, Sonic X Shadow Generations, and it turns out that Sonic X Shadow Generations is really good, and I like Sonic X Shadow. I gotta die the hill.
Sonic is in its own thing where there's not a singular creator like Dragon Ball Z had. It's a corporation, and there's lots of, like, which Sonic is real or isn't real. It's like waiting on a message from the Pope. You know, Sega puts out statements once in a while about what they want, and people have to play along with it to one degree or another. And, you know, Sonic is so up and down. Yes. It's hard to be a fan of Sonic.
Yeah. Ride or die. The bad years are bad, but last year was really freaking good for Sonic. The third movie is actually good. Somehow.
Something like Dragon Ball Z or even One Piece. These were stories crafted by people who really loved those characters. Sonic, some guy was just like, I gotta make a Mario competitor. It's a blue hedgehog, I guess. I don't know.
There was a huge competition at Sega for the Mario competitor. And Dr. Robotnik was actually one of the submitted designs, what ended up becoming Dr. Robotnik, to be their mascot. But they chose Sonic instead.
A decision they would live to regret for a long time.
Anyways.
At least you're eating good with those movies now, though.
Oh, how are the movies good? How are the Sonic movies good?
Brandon, what do you got? What else? What's something else that you love?
Those Sonic movies are just good because of Keanu Reeves.
He's only in the third. Well, the third one is the best one, so fair enough.
Yeah, he made it retroactively good.
Okay. That is the only logical explanation I can think of.
What are other topics that I could just do a whole episode about? I could definitely do Game of Thrones for a whole episode. There probably won't be a Game of Thrones episode unless it's just us, because we'd monopolize that episode real easily. You'd have to have a real freak in here to keep up with me on Game of Thrones. That was like the number one pop culture metaphor for political life for about 5-year period.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know, there was a House of Cards time period. There was a West Wing time period, which was much more damaging to the real world because people really thought the West Wing was real life. You can probably trace the destruction of American democracy to the West Wing.
Oh, I had a professor in college who showed me that and made me write a paper about it.
I want to say let's have Game of Thrones in play for this episode. And I just want to say, you know, I feel like I was vote shamed into watching Game of Thrones, which makes it really appropriate for this show.
There was definitely a time where you couldn't go through life and not have an opinion on Game of Thrones.
Especially, it was hard to talk politics if you weren't watching Game of Thrones.
you're right.
Every motherfucker would be like, yeah, man, this election right now is like fucking Khaleesi and the Starks, dude. And I'm like, what are these words? And they're like, yeah, man, it's like fucking the Winterfell situation all over again, baby. And I'm like, what Winterfell? Who's that? Is that a place in England? You know? So It just felt like I got vote shamed into watching Game of Thrones. I'm standing by that opinion.
First of all, this is a show that supports vote shaming.
Yes, I'm not. And I'm of course,
vote shaming is the
audience. Audience, you better vote right now.
Yeah,
vote.
What did you like this show? By the way.
I liked it until the end, and then I literally did not watch the last season. I just said, nah, I'm good. I read a synopsis later.
That's just very interesting. There are just many people who would agree with you. I watched all the way through, and I get it. I get the ending. It makes some sense. It's a little bit crazy that the books that this series was based on will never be finished. It definitely will just never happen. And that's crazy.
It really is bonkers. That guy's just acting like he has an infinite number of years to live, when in reality, he's probably just going to drop dead suddenly and unexpectedly one day with that book series completely fucking unfinished. Which what? How is one of the most successful book series of our times unfinished? I mean, I guess people felt this way about the Silmarillion.
You have some weird personal story connection with George R.R. Martin. You met him once.
I actually met him twice, but one time was more significant. The other time was more of just a book signing that was like in depth enough that you could actually talk to the people for like a minute or two, but was not like, you know, involved. But the first time I met George R. R. Martin, I took a writing workshop when I was in high school, and several published authors taught this writing workshop. It was not free to take. It was over the summer, but it was not incredibly expensive. It was like community supported to some extent. There was a grant behind it or whatever, you know. So it had several notable, not like super notable, but mildly notable published authors that were there to talk about their experiences being published. And one of them was George R. R. Martin, who at the time was not a big deal yet. This was around the time that like the first Game of Thrones book had been published, which was a modest success in terms of the literary world, but had not yet like set the world on fire to the point where people were making TV shows and throwing bags of money at him, right?
Right.
He was a cynical dick. It's pretty funny now, honestly, especially because I could at that time in his life, there's no way he thought he would ever be as successful as he became. There's no way. There's no fucking way.
Fun fact. Back when he just had the books, the Control-Alt-Delete webcomic, That's Where Lost Comes From, loved the books, and he personally endorsed the webcomic, the same webcomic that gave us Lost, and advised people to go read it.
Yeah, like, that's how much he needed the attention. He was a small enough author at that time that Control-Alt-Delete, a mid-sized webcomic shouting him out, was a big deal for him at that point in his career, at the time that I met him.
Good.
Yeah, that's good shit. I'm struggling for my second one because I'm not sure what you all will have seen for sure, but what I decided to go with that I think will work out fine, because I don't think we'll have a guest that really wants to discuss this show necessarily ever, is I want to talk about how much I love Mashle. I'm going to stick with anime today.
Okay.
What is
Mashle?
Mashle is an anime about first of all, it is a very intentional takedown of Harry Potter.
Yes.
It is a scathing takedown of Harry Potter. It is written from the perspective of being a satire of that universe in a lot of ways, but a kind of satire that shows what could be better in a lot of ways too. The main character Mashburn dead, goes to magic school, but cannot use magic. He survives through the power of incredible musculature. He's able to do things with his physical body that don't make sense. He can fly by just running really hard in the air. It's just an out of control universe.
And don't forget his greatest power of all, incredible autism.
Yes, he is a neurodivergent king that we all stand. I we don't have to bring in a lot of characters from this, but I wouldn't mind talking about Mashal a little bit today while we talk about our other topic, which is, of course, a day that lives in infamy in this nation. My birthday.
Yeah!
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday.
Also, I'm hearing a report that something noteworthy has happened on January 6th, a couple of years ago. I don't think
Your birthday this party
come to light until recently. But there was some kind of insurrection thing?
Wait a second. So you're telling me the January 6th committee was not a bunch of politicians jealous of your awesome birthday parties?
It turns out, although they were jealous of my awesome birthday parties, and the Supreme Court did hand down a ruling saying that my birthday parties had to be less cool.
Six to three, I bet.
You're tuned in to Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network, built for creators, activists, and entrepreneurs with something to say. Gripping audio documentaries, conversations that spark change. We're here to bring your ideas to life. Ready for more? Head to ghostcoast.video for shows that matter, tools to help you create, and a community that's totally redefining what a podcast network can be. Ghost Coast Studios, meet your dreams.
There was something that happened on January 6th a few years ago. Some kind of hootenanny. Brandon and I actually watched it happen live.
We've watched a lot of world events happen together.
I watched it live, too.
We saw on my birthday a few years ago the Soleimani assassination. We saw that on Discord together. And yeah, the January 6th uprising, we were doing content during that day and time period. If somebody went back in time, they would get to see thoughts as it happened. So that was a great infamous day of content making.
I saw Ashley Babbitt as she was killed. Like, I saw a stream of the moment it happened.
It's crazy that that was just the thing that was going on that day. Yeah, wow, weird stuff. We're gonna talk about January 6th today. There's not a lot more to say. Everybody knows about January 6th. I don't feel like some of our other topics we get into will be like, well, did you ever hear about Eisenhower's cabinet? And people are like, what are you talking about? Did you ever hear about the
write-in election with Lisa Murkowski?
James Garfield Paul Sox scandal?
Jesse, what the fuck are you talking about?
This one, I feel this topic doesn't need a lot of introduction. Yeah. So let's just go ahead and skate on here and get really into the meat of it, which is going around now. Let's start with Batman arbitrarily. Who from Batman would be at January 6th? And how many of them would stay when it started to get crazy? Let's pick a couple of top characters here who would definitely be there. Who are our top picks? Our top drafts from the Batman universe?
We have to assume Bane will be there. You know, Joker was not willing to cross the IRS very infamously. And I'm just not sure whether the Joker would be willing to cross the feds, you know, killing a regular person. The Joker's all down with, but I don't see him out eagerly looking to get into it with the Capitol Police.
And Andrew, do you have anything in front of you about what kinds of people were at January 6th that day? Like, you know, any of the demographic information that might help us to pin down this topic as we go here? I want to contend that very specifically, Brandon, because as you said, you know, you shuffle the characters around in the toy box, they can be different. Danny DeVito's Penguin.
Yeah, he definitely would be there.
Okay. 18.5 had a background of law enforcement or the military. Largest employment group identified as the business owner group, which accounts for 24.7%. Only 35 of the 716 that were prosecuted at the time of this report were identified as unemployed, and 22.2% had a criminal record.
That's okay, a huge collection of shit kickers.
Well, but this is important because this means, okay, a lot of these guys hadn't been arrested for anything before. Like, 22% is relatively high, but in the context of Batman villains is actually a pretty small percentage, right? So now I'm thinking maybe Two-Face. Or Norman Osborn would be at January 6th, right? Business owners that haven't been previously arrested for a crime.
You wouldn't see Lex Luthor at an event like that, but he'd be puppeteering things in the background. Lex Luthor would definitely be astroturfing a January 6th type event.
Oh, he's definitely buying some people plane tickets to get out
there. Yeah. He's funding the trucker convoy or something like that.
He's not caught dead there for sure.
Yeah, you know, what really is interesting is that a lot of the Batman villains just tend to be more tied in with the government more than anarchist or revolutionary type figures. Obviously, you have like Poison Ivy, but she would be never at a January 6th type event. She'd be doing some sort of G6 Seattle protest more than a trucker uprising, you know?
Yeah, Poison Ivy has definitely been arrested on several college campuses, but no, she's not a J6. Catwoman's not going to J6.
Catwoman's not going. You're looking at, I mean, Condiment King might go. You think of him as like the My Pillow guy. He might have something to sell. You know, some of those gimmicky type people, they may have just something to sell. Clock King, Maxi Zeus might go to it. You know, he's a sovereign citizen. You could definitely see Maxi Zeus.
Condiment King doesn't stay. He's there when like
he's there to sell his mustard and then he gets out.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a small speaking spot between the My Pillow guy and Alex Jones.
Yeah.
He riles up the crowd, sells some mustard.
I honestly love QAnon Condiment King. That's honestly great.
It just makes sense.
In terms of, I think most of your J6 adjacent villains are going to be in the world of Batman. Metallo might be a J6er. Obviously, Dr. Psycho from Wonder Woman would be a J6er. You know, I can't name any more.
Andrew, who do you got from the One Piece universe that's going to be at J6?
Definitely Buggy the Clown. His whole thing is getting into more trouble than he realizes in order to get people, you know, in order to get fans. And in one of the arcs, he's a prisoner. Monkey D. Luffy frees him, and he goes and frees in all the other prisoners who become his eternal fans. And what would probably happen is Buggy the Clown would find an opportunity at J6. He would probably get some of the Trumpers around him. He doesn't really care about it. And then he finds out that they've been posting videos of him for everybody to see online, and he tells them to stop it.
Wow. Okay, yeah, that's a J6 guy.
Yeah, if you change around a few of the actual events that basically happens in the show. I also think government worker Rob Lucci, who's a very faithful member of the government, of specific members of the government, might be tempted to get rid of Biden in favor of Trump. He's just known as a really strong rival, but very loyal to what he believes the government should be, the authoritarian government. And then you have Blackbeard, but like Blackbeard's always just causing chaos. He's kind of like Buggy, except he would actually successfully do it without any consequences. There's a bajillion. I've been thinking the more recognizable characters. Like Luffy would only show up to help stop it once he was promised food.
Wait, on that subject, Brandon, do you think there's any Batman heroes that would show up to J6? Because there's a few Batman heroes with pretty bad politics.
Let's see. Hawk and Dove would be at J6, but they'd obviously, Dove would complain the whole time and say, you know, that they'd just have a whole episode at J6. And Hawk would stay for quite a while. He'd eventually be turned by the amount of annoying of complaining from Dove. You know how that would go. In terms of, the question would of course be at J6. But I also don't think the question would think that J6 is a distraction from some real, deeper, more important issue. he'd say this J6 thing, he's evolved way beyond J6. He's got bigger and crazier conspiracies that he is into. Let's see who. I think we've hit a lot of the big ones.
Teen Titans Go, Robin.
He's a spaz. He'd probably do just anything that is destructive and weird. Teen Titans Go, Robin would definitely be at J6.
That's a great one. That one.
Teen Titan Robin would be at J6.
Yeah, of course.
I think from Dragon Ball, I'm going to go with Android 17 would be at J6. Just a guy with pretty bad politics for the most part. He does eventually kind of reform, but I think that, you know, he's just a guy that would be easily talked into some rhetoric like that. I think Cell also in that vein. And Dr. Gero himself, the guy who creates all the androids, Dr. Gero's driving the van that's getting them all there. Cell definitely has the vibe. You know, I'm in the Cell saga right now on my current rewatch. He has the vibe that Joe Rogan would have Cell on his show if he was real. Joe Rogan would definitely be asking Cell about trying DMT. And Cell would be like, well, I've absorbed thousands of people and some of them have tried DMT. And Joe Rogan would be like, huh, interesting. I think Cell. Vegeta probably would leave early, but he's probably going to show up. Frieza and his family are the easy ins here. They're going to be wilding out at J6. They're going to be out of control. I don't think Boo would go. And I think some of the other villains turned homies wouldn't go, like Piccolo. He doesn't seem like a J6 type. He doesn't really like a crowd. I think just on principle, he wouldn't be there. You know, Beerus, Beerus ain't going to show his face at something like that. It's pretty low rent for a guy like that. He's a god of death. It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. The number of Game of Thrones characters who would be there is just massive. with the DC characters, they just believe in they're literally, I mean, the Justice League literally votes on a round table. They're all about civic duty. The Game of Thrones characters are all about looking for reasons to rebel and advance their position. Definitely the Boltons would be there.
Just on principle, almost every Game of Thrones character shows that even if they don't believe in the thing, it's just like, hey, it's a seditious moment that I have to be there.
Yeah,
in order to participate.
All the Stark kids would be there.
I think the Ned real
would be like,
the real question is who wouldn't be there?
God. Great question. Stannis Baratheon would not go to J6.
I think Jon Snow might sit it out. He's kind of sensitive and moody. No,
Jon Snow is both sensitive and moody and pro-immigrant. You're right. Jon Snow's not going to go to that thing. He's more likely to go to a counter-protest or something.
Yeah. But honestly, I feel like he would probably he'd stay home and watch it on TV.
Yeah. Rob Stark and his mom, they don't go to J6, and unless Ned Stark takes them, if Ned is there and he takes the whole family to go see an insurrection, they'll be there. But if he's dead by that point, then Rob stays home.
Tyrion would definitely meddle in J6, but would not appear there. You would know way in advance that that's going to be a shit show.
That's correct. Yeah, Tyrion would. Cersei. We said we got to pick people who wouldn't be there. Cersei's going to be there by all means.
Yeah, I think all the other Lannisters are there. Tyrion's
every
the only
other
one.
Lannister's there. Yeah, the Greyjoys are there. Yeah, like I said, you've got to look for characters that wouldn't go. Brienne of Tarth wouldn't be there.
Sansa Stark. I think she'd be the only Stark that would sit it out. She'd just be like, it's way too masculine and sweaty.
It just depends on whether she's ordered. If a man tells her to go, she'd go. But otherwise, if she has her freedom and freedom of choice, she'll stay home. Brienne of Tarth stays home. She's respectful of authority and civil delegation and all that other stuff.
She loves law and order.
Yeah. She's not going to that. But most of the cast of Game of Thrones, they'll be there.
Back
fucking
Jon
Snow might go if one of those wildling girls is like, I'm going to have a wild time at January 6th. Come on, Jon Snow. He'll be there. It just depends. He's somebody that can be talked into anything.
Yeah, even some of these characters that we were talking about, I could see some of them getting talked into it for sure. For sure. I could see Brienne of Tarth getting talked into it. Just like imagine that. What's that redheaded, knuckleheady guy from the show that everyone loves with the huge beard and hair?
The Hound. Yeah. I know who you mean. No, you mean Tormund. Okay. Tormund Giantsbane is who you mean.
Yeah. Tormund Giantsbane is just like, come on, Brienne. January 6th, it'll be a wild time. You gotta prove how strong you are at a place like that, you know? So
Brienne will be wherever Elizabeth Warren is. She'll be there too. She'll be protecting Elizabeth Warren during these exciting moments.
Hello.
Back to you, Andrew. Dr. Robotnik is at J6, right?
Oh yeah, Dr. Robotnik is an opportunist, and if we go into the movies, wherever Dr. Robotnik goes, Agent Stone is there with him as well. Just whatever.
I was going to say one or two of his closest cohorts probably as well, just by default.
Oh yeah, like, if you haven't seen the movies, like, historians say Dr. Robotnik and Agent Stone are just really good friends. They absolutely will insist this. Absolutely. the top choice sticks the badger. Her entire personality is she is paranoid about everything. The government is always out to get you, and there's always a conspiracy theory. Like, yeah,
Styx the Badger. I've never even heard of Styx the Badger. I feel like that's like a made-up DeviantArt character.
It's
like someone's OC.
It's from the Sonic Boom cartoon. She's made a few game appearances, but from the Sonic Boom cartoon, her entire... You have Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, Amy, you might recognize them, and then they suddenly were like, hey, we need this conspiracy theorist with the other four.
Speaking of Knuckles...
Knuckles would absolutely go, but Sonic would have to go there just to talk him out of it, and make him realize it was a bad choice. Like, Knuckles would absolutely be tricked at first.
This is kind of a side note, but if they made a Sonic 4 and they had Amy in this Sonic 4, who would you cast as Amy?
I'm not very good at casting stuff. I'm not sure. I mean, my mistake is I would want to look at voice actors instead of celebrities, so I would already make the wrong choice.
Yeah, I'm thinking celebrity. Kennedy, I'm thinking of Awkwafina as Amy.
Why would you speak something so probable and so cursed into the world?
Well, doesn't she say a line in the trailer?
I think Shadow would just barely know better.
I was thinking, if we're talking an alternate version of Sonic Adventure 2, where instead of the president getting involved to stop Robotnik, the president has a coup, Shadow the Hedgehog would be part of that plan. But I think post-Sonic Adventure 2, yeah, he would barely know better.
Really on the fence about Shadow the Hedgehog.
I think he would... Post-Sonic Adventure 2, he would have some sort of grim, edgy speech about, but I know better now. It's not really about revenge. I need to go another way for Maria.
Yeah, Shadow the Hedgehog has a whole character arc. So where in the character arc you find him will have a lot to do with whether he goes to...
character development... Shadow the Hedgehog's character development is going from would go to January 6th to wouldn't. No further comment. Bick the Cat would definitely go there.
We should do another episode of this, but it's just characters who would come to Kennedy's birthday party.
Well, Sonic the Hedgehog would absolutely be at your birthday party, Kennedy.
I want Tails. Will Tails show up?
Sonic's there, thing's on a calendar, Tails will be there.
But the bad news, if Sonic and Tails are there, Dr. Robotnik's going to show up.
I actually don't mind that.
He's going to try to ruin your party. Oh, and you thought the other January 6th was bad. You haven't seen anything yet, Sonic.
I think I could appeal to Dr. Robotnik's humanity and get him to drop his guard, you know? And then we would look into each other's eyes and then we'd kiss... hang on, sorry.
Are you Agent Stone? You're Agent Stone, I never knew.
You know, the thing about Mashal is the kind of universe where it's meant to be a critique of a bigoted universe. So a lot of characters are pretty tolerant. A lot of these guys would not go. But there's a couple that stand out as definitely going to January 6th. And since, Brandon, you in particular know the least about these characters, I will clue you in. Innocent Zero, of course, is the main antagonist of Mashal and is this guy who wants to become a perfect ultimate being or whatever, that kind of guy. definitely a guy that would be at J6. Just a guy that rambles on at length whenever he's on screen, which is not a shit ton until pretty late in the game, as far as what's come out so far. But then once he shows up, man, this guy just talks so much. He's like, giving Sephiroth speeches all the time.
No.
I'm so awesome. I'm going to change the world because I'm so great. Nothing else matters except how great I am. I am the perfect being, the ultimate being, the one who can blah, 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 blah. He just goes on and on. He's going to J6, and that means that all of his cronies are going with him, because none of them would do anything to defy him in particular, except for maybe one or two vaguely, but I don't know. I'd have to see more. We'll have to see what season 3 holds, I guess, before I could say on that. There's a few other people that would definitely go, though. There's Abel Walker, who is at the top of one of the houses called Lang House, and he can turn people into puppets, and he's just really negative towards everyone all the time, even after he gets turned more towards the side of good. He has a pretty sour attitude, so I think anywhere in his character arc, this guy is probably going to be willing to go, because he just has this extremely cynical attitude towards other people, just sees everybody as, like, tools to be used and stuff like that. So he would definitely be seeing a chaotic event like that as an opportunity. I think Order Model, who's one of the sort of good guys, but is against MASH's existence. And I think his sheer bigotry towards a guy like MASH and his adherence towards authority, this is a guy that he wants to maintain the current system of power in the universe as much as anyone. He's one of the divine visionaries, so he's sort of on the side of good, kind of.
Vote blue no matter who!
he's like the fucking, why can't I think of this guy's name? What's that fucking jerk-off from Virginia, that senator that always ruins everything?
Joe Manchin? Oh.
Manchin.
Yeah, Order Model is the Joe Manchin
really makes
this
you think.
Universe. And I think Joe Manchin, if he was not a senator but was just a guy, would have gone to J6. Just saying.
You're out of line, but you're right.
Can anyone dispute? Brandon, what do you weigh in on that? I want your opinion on that.
Yeah, you know, it's just a question of whether he was too rich to go, but he's definitely a coal baron. I definitely could see Manchin poking his head in. He always wants to show that he's got very strong concerns that align with those groups. So yeah, I could see him going for sure.
Now we were going to do this bit of what fictional characters would Donald Trump pardon, but the answer is just obviously all of them. Like, he would just pardon anybody, I feel like. And Brandon kind of brought this point up first, and I think you were correct. The more I think about it, Donald Trump would just pardon any kind of guy. So I've got a new bit for us to close out this episode that I pioneered on my own without telling Yinz anything.
Wow, I hate you. Let's do it.
All right. So imagine you're at J6. Don't ask why or what fucked up parallel universe this has to be to justify you being there.
Parallel universes.
just you're there. All right.
We're just asking questions.
You're at J6. Okay. And at some point after you get there, you realize
you're in over your head.
Okay. Now, all of the fictional characters that we've just agreed would be at J6 are there. You've got to find one of them. Who of one of them... I'm trying to get this sentence out. I'm struggling. Pick one from among these characters, and that is the person that you are going to team up with to try to get out of J6 successfully, unharmed, and without leaving behind any prosecutable evidence.
Buggy the Clown. Just Buggy the Clown from One Piece. He is the master of failing upwards. Like, with his incredible luck, he will bumble. He will mess up. But in the end, we will get away with it somehow.
Just given my druthers of everyone, there, I've got a lot of great choices between these two fandoms. I think that
any character you mentioned doesn't have to be your own.
Bane is a great choice. And, you know, if you're there with Bane, you're going to get out. This is his whole thing, is to get in and out of those situations. But, you know, I think that you'll just have more fun with Jaime Lannister. I'm 100% sure that Jaime Lannister can talk his way out of January 6th. Once it gets superheated, he's just got a great skill at that kind of thing. It's practically his superpower. He'll get there. He'll be big jaw. He'll be white. He'll talk his way out of it, I'm sure.
Okay. I'm going with Condiment King.
You're out of line.
That's a beautiful... Nobody's going to put a hand on Condiment King.
Yeah, nobody could stop Condiment King.
He gives the speech beforehand, and he gives a MyPillow speech about why you've got to buy racist mayonnaise. You know, the woke mob is trying to control your ketchup and mustard. The crowd loves that speech, and they don't bother him at all.
Yeah, I just feel like Condiment King is going to be in and out at J6 already to some extent. So, like, if I'm like, hey, man, it looks like this is getting wild. We should get the fuck out of here. He's going to be like, you're right. I've got the car right around the corner already. You know, they're loading the unsold mustard into the van. Let's start moving in that direction.
What is racist mustard?
this is real American mustard.
I was thinking it would just have like a caricature of some kind, you know, some kind of racist caricature on the bottle for no reason at all, like, you know.
The woke mom wanted to silence my free speech.
Yeah.
Really makes you think.
Yeah.
Like this guy,
and it's based on some kind of old timey racist drawing style from the 20s that no one quite understands. You know it's racist though.
Oh, no.
You just know
those aren't human proportions.
It each bottle costs $14.88. Sorry, $14.88.
There's definitely a markup for this mustard. It costs twice as much as a Bud Light, for sure.
Yeah. Because it promotes freedom. It's made in America. It's not made in America, but it's made in America.
It's made in China. America.
Well, great. Well, this has been, once again, the most important election of our lives. We appreciate you for listening, voting along with us at home. It's important to vote every day, all day. And you can do that by listening to this podcast, wherever podcasts are found, telling your friends about it, giving us a nice rating, all those things. We appreciate you.
I'm voting for Goku.
And, yeah, let's get out of here. Brandon, do the thing.
Bye-bye.
Ghost Coast Studios. Thanks for listening.